How is it that some of the finest family ministries in America today have been branded hate groups? Who's behind it and why? We'll expose it today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is not a new story. This is an ongoing story. This is something that we must address. This is something that is not going away. We are going to expose intolerance, bigotry, hatred today and ask a question: who are the haters? Who are the ones acting in an intolerant way? Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I've had pretty interesting whirlwind couple of days, but let me give you a number first to call. While my eyes are clear and my head is clear, the number is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. To interact online, go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown. Join our Facebook community there. Okay, I was in New York for a period of 9 days, got home Sunday night about 10 at night, did my show, as always, from our studios outside of Charlotte Monday, and then flew into Phoenix late on Monday night. Got in, I guess, 1, 2 in the morning, East Coast time, and then did my show from Phoenix yesterday afternoon, then did a live webcast with Jewish Voice broadcast, then took the red eye back, left Phoenix about 2-something in the morning, East Coast time, got home 6-something, crashed for a few hours, and back with you, glad to be sitting in my home studios again. And listen, friends, I have known since the day I started dealing with the issues about gay activism and homosexuality, I knew from day one that there would be the accusation that I was being hateful, that I was being intolerant, that I was being bigoted. And last year, Southern Poverty Law Center, which in the past was probably much more respected than it is today, I remember hearing their name, and they exposed some hate group, and it could have been a Ku Klux Klan type group or a neo-Nazi type group, and it seemed to carry some weight and credibility. In recent years, the positions that they were taking seemed to be less and less credible with certain groups. And then, of course, the end of last year, they came out with this ridiculous report. Can only be called ridiculous from a factual, academic point of view, and from a point of view of fairness and ethics in certain ways, could only be called ridiculous. And they branded a number of organizations as hate groups. I'm only laughing because of the craziness of some of this. Some of the groups that got branded as hate groups late last year: the American Family Association, that's right, AFA. Another group, there are others that I know and have friends or associates that work in some of these, but the ones that were perhaps the most shocking, Family Research Council. I mean, you're talking about major, well-known national Christian ministries, people that got put in the report as well, Concerned Women for America, hate groups. So I, along with 150 other ministry and national leaders, signed on to an ad that ran publicly, and there were major leaders as well, national leaders, John Boehner with the House, and other leaders signed on, 22 congressional leaders, and it was stop the hating, start debating. Southern Poverty Law Center, quit calling everybody hateful hate groups because they have biblical values and hold to family values and care about homosexuals and want to speak the truth in love. Don't brand them hate groups. Let's discuss things. And then I and these other 150 leaders get a letter, very condescending letter from the Southern Poverty Law Center saying, what? We don't want to debate? We don't want to talk? Trying to justify their stand. Of course, we've tried to contact them ever since. Said, come on the show. Come on the show. Come on the show. Of course not, because there is no discussion, because we are being branded the haters. Oh, we're going to expose some things today. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are exposing hatred and bigotry and intolerance and putting to rest the myth that it is those who are following Jesus and walking in a path of light and truth and love who are the haters. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have run into intolerance or bigotry expressed towards you or hatred expressed towards you when you graciously, lovingly took issue with homosexual practice, when you graciously, lovingly took issue with same-sex marriage, when you graciously, lovingly took issue with what the Bible says about those things, I'd love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. As I've been on the road, I keep hearing from people who are running into these issues, talking about issues there. They use the term persecution in their schools, teachers and others and counselors and people in ministry. I don't know if I'd use the word persecution as freely because I think of it more people losing their lives for the gospel, people being put in prison for the gospel. But certainly there's a lot of ill treatment going on by those who claim to be tolerant and enlightened, those who claim to be open-minded. Someone came up to me after I spoke in Brooklyn on Saturday and said, I don't understand it. The people who claim to be so liberal, people who claim to be so liberal are so closed-minded about some of these ideas. And listen, in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the second chapter is called Jewish Hitlers, Christian Jihadists, and the Magical Effects of Pushing the Hate Button. You said, Jewish Hitlers, Christian Jihadists, what do you mean? What I mean is that I, as a Jew, have been called a Hitler. That I, as a follower of Jesus, have been called a jihadist. Why? Because I hold to what the Bible says about certain of these moral issues and do so graciously. In fact, I get mocked for my tone because, well, he's really hateful even though he has nice tone. Someone said the other day, you can't trust a grinning shark. So I guess I have to add this in. Shark. Shark is the latest one. But here's what happens. When you don't want to have a civilized discussion, you push the hate button. You're hateful. Well, hang on. We agree that intolerance of certain things can be good. Would you say so? That intolerance of slavery is a good thing. That intolerance of women being sold into sex trade as little children, being intolerant of that is a good thing. There's a certain type of intolerance that's good. But there's another type of intolerance which is small-minded, bigoted, hateful, refuses to hear any other view, refuses to allow any other view, and we are the ones getting accused of it. Matthew Frank, writing in the Washington Post last December, said this, and I quote this from A Queer Thing Happened to America, "The charge of hate is not a contribution to argument. It's the resource of people who would rather not have an argument at all." People are getting on me in different public settings. And of course, I'm a public figure, so you're going to have some level of controversy. That's fine. And we're raising issues that can be controversial. So that's I don't mind that. I just want there to be more light than heat. I don't want controversy for the sake of controversy. I'm not trying to have a controversial radio show to draw in listeners. I'm trying to aid a moral and cultural spiritual revolution in the name of Jesus and by the power and life of the Spirit so that we can see positive change come. Controversy for controversy's sake is not my goal. That's just a waste of everybody's time, and it's not even the spirit of the gospel either. But I'm finding it fascinating that people are saying to me, there's no one restricting you. There's no one trying to get in your way. And yet we go on a college campus. This is remarkable. Next Thursday, I'm having a debate, God willing, with Professor Eric Small on same-sex marriage, should it be legal in America, at the University of Central Florida. That's April 21st for those in the Orlando area that are listening to me. And remarkably, the folks putting the debate together, even though you have two qualified professors who I'm sure will engage this in a civil tone, I don't doubt that Dr. Small will, I certainly will, no campus group would sponsor it. Nobody wanted to touch it. Too hot an issue. Someone came up to me, a young lady who's at NYU, my alma mater, where I got my master's and PhD. NYU has been voted at times the most gay-friendly or one of the most gay-friendly campuses in America because it's New York City, because you have a lot of arts-related students, because of some of the location where it is. It's just a higher number than most schools of of gay students. She claimed 25% of the male students that are gay. I have no idea if that figure is true. That would be remarkable if it is. But in any case, Chick-fil-A serves, Chick-fil-A is one of the vendors there that you can buy their food on campus. And there is a move to get them off campus. This is not the only campus in America where this is happening. There is a move to get them banned from campus. Why? Because they're a Christian organization that shuts down on Sunday? No. Everybody knows that and accepts that. And Sunday business is not a major campus business day. No, that's not the issue. The issue is that they made a donation to an organization that opposes same-sex marriage. You're forbidden! There is no other side to the debate. There is no other side of the issue. GLAAD, which stands for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, but I say often means Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, they have petitioned CNN, which is famously gay-slanted in its coverage, just as some other networks may be on the other side of the issue. CNN is famously gay-slanted for its coverage. I don't think they would hide from that or deny it. They probably feel that that's a good thing. GLAAD has petitioned them to say, do not bring the other side on for discussion. Do not bring the other side on for debate. If you're debating the issue of repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you've got a gay former soldier or former Marine or something, bring that person on, but you're going to have someone from a family ministry to give the other side. No, don't bring them on because their ideas and values are polluting people. Kevin Jennings, who is the founder and executive director of GLSEN, Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network, which often appears more to be the Gay Lesbian Sexual Education Network, he made it clear, and of course he has been appointed by our president as the safe school czar, an ultimate irony. He made it clear, as far as a message in the schools, there is no other side to the story. There is no other side to the story. You can encourage kids to find their transgender identity. You can encourage kids in the schools to come out at younger and younger ages. In 2 days, there will be the Day of Silence, where probably several hundred thousand kids as early as middle school, high school, and college will be participating in this national day that GLSEN helped push forward, where kids come in and they will not speak through the day, and unless they're pressed upon to do so by their teachers, they will not speak or participate in solidarity with the silencing of the lesbian and gay community. I don't know how silenced the lesbian and gay community is. They seem to be fairly vocal and fairly well-financed as far as activist organizations and have a fairly strong presence in the media and even the political world today. But no, day of silence. Hundreds of thousands of kids, if it follows pattern in past years, will be standing up together. And if you say, I'd like to have a day of dialogue to discuss the other side of the issue. Hate your hate group. Hate group. Liberty Council, Matt Staver's organization, a strong Christian legal organization. Here's an editorial in the local gay newspaper from a few years back. Quote, Liberty Council is a distinctly unchristian, hate-filled, intolerant gang of thugs with law degrees. In A Queer Thing Happened to America, this chapter, Jewish Hitlers, Christian Jihadists, and the Magical Effects of Pushing the Hate Button, I have quote after quote of people attacking me, attacking our position in the strongest, ugliest terms. You could listen to say what I had to say in a debate or a discussion, and I'll frame the references carefully, graciously, and say I respect you as a human being. I embrace you as a fellow human being, but I don't celebrate or endorse your sexual orientation, nor am I willing to redefine marriage based in it or rewrite the Bible based in it, but I care about you as a fellow human being and stand with your rights as a fellow human being. And I'll speak in that tone, and I'll tell them if anyone ever tried to attack you or hurt you, I'd be at the front of the line standing in the way of those people trying to do you harm. And then you read the letters, the attacks, and the ugliest, vile terms of what people physically want to do to me because I'm hate-filled. Friends, we've got to expose this. We've got to expose the bigotry and speak truth into light. You say, I don't care about this. You better care, because it will affect you in days to come, and it will affect your kids in days to come, and it will affect your church in days to come. All right, we have a special resource offer as always. Give it a good listen.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby, Yeshua brought by his mother Miriam and father Joseph, foster father Joseph, when he was brought to the temple in accordance with biblical law, you know the account, Simeon prophesied over him. What did he say? Here are the words. This infant is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and rise. Also, he will be a sign that will be opposed. And then a word to Miriam, Mary, indeed a sword will pierce your own soul too, so that the inner thoughts of many people might be revealed. Oh, the inner thoughts of many people might be revealed. When we follow in Jesus' footsteps, it brings things to the surface. It's often very divisive, even though we ourselves are peacemakers. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Have you experienced some level of intolerance, have been branded bigoted, hateful, even perhaps suffered some level of discrimination for your failure to affirm homosexual practice, for your failure to support same-sex marriage, for your failure to support kids coming out and identifying as gay at 11 or 12 or 13 years old? Have you faced that in the workplace? There's a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America. Big Brother is watching, and he really is gay. I've had people mock, come on, you're not the victim, we're the victims. And I'm not saying that many gay and lesbian people have not had difficult, challenging lives and feel restricted because they, quote, want to marry and have the same benefits as everyone else. I understand the struggles from their perspective. In fact, if anyone took the time to read the book, they would know that I detail that side of it very carefully. But here, check this out. Some of the reviews, these are from non-readers. And I this is enlightening. This is helpful to hear and see. And if you're going to get into this, you'll be confronted. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.com. And visit Amazon, go to A Queer Thing Happened to America. The reviews from people who haven't even read the book, bashing the book, mark those as unhelpful if you feel they are. The reviews from people who've actually read the book, if you find those helpful, mark those as helpful. Let's expose the hatred, the intolerance, the bigotry, the closed-mindedness where it is, and let's have a discussion. We've got our special resource offer with the book direct through our ministry today, or you can order directly on Amazon, as always. Before I go to the phones, how about this one-star review from a non-reader of the book? This is the religious handbook on how to get away with homophobia. Mr. Brown admits himself to his reprehensible agenda, which is reach out to people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. I am stabbing them in the back by concocting some blasphemous agenda. They have some non-agenda, and I'm stabbing them in the back. How about this one? Claims to be a born-again Christian. Christianist lies. Christianist is like Islamist, meaning it's not really Muslim. The terrorists are not really Muslim. They're Islamists, so I'm not really Christian. This is Christianist lies. She claims to have read the book in the library. Really? Didn't know it was in libraries yet. This book is the excuse hateful, small-minded people are looking for to back up their own squeamishness about sex. That's it. That's the only possible way you can have an issue. Poorly researched, affirming mythical stereotypes, poorly formulated arguments. If you value your time and don't care to be insulted by someone else's poorly constructed arguments, don't bother with this tome. It's so badly done. Someone said, blasted. They said, the publisher wasted money by publishing this book. Excuse me. We are the publisher. And these people are posting reviews who haven't read the book. And this is supposed to be the tolerant crowd. And we who spend years interacting, researching, writing, and say, we differ, but let's have a conversation together so that people can hear both sides and come to good conclusions. We are the bigoted, hateful ones. And listen, friends, Christians are running and running and running and running. Why? They don't want to be branded bigoted, intolerant, or they don't have solid answers. We want to help strengthen your resolve to do what's right in love, whatever the area is, whatever the area of services, do what's right in love and let the chips fall where they may. Emery in Jamaica, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your show and your stance and courage to stand on the word and the truth, all given in love. I had called to respond to your question regarding ever being called intolerant. And just in the post office a short while ago, someone called me a professional bigot as I began to, they started the discussion in regards of homosexuality in America, and I shared what the Bible teaches. And in that context, just began to say, well, then that means that you're one of those professional bigots.
Wow.
And I was taken aback, to say the least.
Now, Emery, were you using vile words and terms and profane speech and using name-calling when you talked to this person?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, in the context of the discussion, the question was asked, did I feel that homosexuality was wrong? Shouldn't everybody be able to live the way they want to live? And asked me, would I take into consideration the way people are born. Some people are born that way with the way that the discussion had come. And I shared that, you know, all have been born into sin, shaped in iniquity. But we have to make a choice about whether we want to serve the true and risen Christ or not. And if whether we're engaging in heterosexual sin or homosexual sin, then it's sin. And so, again, sharing it in as loving a way as I thought that I could, not, as you mentioned, not calling any names, not speaking forcefully. But that was the response, and I agree with you. I think that tolerance, or intolerance, I should say, is a buzzword designed to say, be quiet and let me do what I want to do. And more so, it, I think, becomes, it's intolerant that I think it's an intolerant approach for someone to continually say,
yes,
you're intolerant without any sort of discussion on it.
Yeah, and Emery, I'm up against a break here, but even as you speak on the phone to me, you're obviously a reasoned, soft-spoken person. And
yeah,
to be called a professional bigot, of course it's going to get worse than that, but to think that was the immediate association, people... it's not just that everybody came up with this. It's just so much in the air, the accusation flowing constantly. And it is designed to silence us. It is designed to get us to back down or to get on the defensive. What we have to do when we know we're walking in love and we're standing on biblical truth and that God's ways are best for society and for every human being, that's where we have to determine, okay, I'm going to overcome evil with good. I'm going to overcome hatred with love. And the more that we shine the light, the more it's going to expose the bigotry on the other side. Hey, I've got to run. Emery, thank you for calling. Stand strong and be an example. God bless you, man.
God bless you, too.
All right, friends, you'll be branded. You'll be hated. You'll be mocked. Stand for what is right, and may the Lord be glorified.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hatred, intolerance, bigotry, ooh, bad words. What do you do when those words are pinned on you? Michael Brown, welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Friends, just get used to it. You're going to have to overcome charges of hatred. You're going to have to overcome charges of bigotry. You're going to have to overcome charges of intolerance. And the moment you stand up for what is right, you will get associated with every kind of vile, ugly group that's out there. I have never been called a Nazi and Hitler so much in my life as in the last few years, when I've taken respectful issue with same-sex practice and the redefining of marriage, etc. I'm Jewish, getting called a Hitler. I'm a follower of Jesus, getting called a jihadist. I don't mind it in terms of personally. Of course, there's going to be flack and opposition. But it exposes the bankruptcy of the other side's position. When the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I'll say it now on national radio, to Mr. J. Richard Cohn, president and CEO, who wrote me and 150 other leaders in December of last year, to Mark Potok of the SPLC, why won't you join me on the radio? You wrote a letter that was a very condescending letter. You're going to educate me correctly about these groups like Family Research Council and say that they're hate groups. And in fact, the report that was written, the alleged lies that people are knowingly putting forth when a good number of the subjects listed are highly debatable and were terribly represented in the SPLC report. We have asked any of you from the SPLC involved with the report and others to come in and join us on the air so we can have a conversation. No response. We get referred to this one. No response. You charge us with not being willing to discuss the issues. When the ad was put out last year, stop hating, start debating. You lecture us. Well, we're trying to have a discussion with you. I didn't want to call it a debate, but fine, we'll have a debate with you. Have a debate with any of your people on any campus in America, sirs and ma'ams. And I have the academic credentials to it and have been on many of the top campuses in America. I'm happy to do it in a civil, respectful way. Why won't you debate the issues? Why do you just brand groups, hate groups? I mean, to the point that former Attorney General Edwin Meese said it's despicable for the Southern Poverty Law Center to classify the Family Research Council and a dozen other top conservative organizations as hate groups similar to the Ku Klux Klan. I think it's ridiculous, Meese said. Yeah, ridiculous and despicable. I absolutely concur with that and agree with that. And I could take quite a number of the points. In fact, I did it months ago when I said that the Southern Poverty Law Center debunks itself. It struck me more as the Suddenly Impoverished Logic Center, something sadly missing. I appreciate the good work you've done in the past. I appreciate groups that are genuine hate groups that have been singled out, but when you start calling fine Christian ministries and fine family ministries without an ounce of hate in them, you start branding them hate groups. And then the whole argument is that they knowingly putting forth lies, knowingly putting forth things that have been debunked about other groups, whereas some of the very points you made, the opposite can easily be argued scientifically and academically. As I do in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, with massive documentation and research. We've been asking you to discuss these things. And in fact, we even waited until we had an expanded radio audience to give you the benefit of a national audience, some of the top markets in America. No response. That doesn't sound like dialogue to me. That doesn't sound like being a willingness to interact. I'd be the first to stand up against a gay person being hated or attacked. And every gay person that I've interacted with on a one-on-one level where we've had enough time talking, there's no way in their right minds that they could possibly say, I hated them. There's no way they could possibly say that. And yet the charges will continually flow. Who's being hateful? The one who lovingly says, God has a better way, and I stand with you in your struggles, and I'll protect you from anyone trying to attack you? Or the one throwing the Hitler charges around? Who's being hateful? Mark in Germantown, you'll be next right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am sad to see that Mark in Germantown, Maryland, was unable to hold on. We live right outside of Germantown for a few years, just a couple towns away and only, and have family just a couple towns past Germantown. So that was stomping ground for us for about 9 years. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about intolerance, bigotry. 866-348-7884. Those that don't really want to have a conversation will often push the button of intolerance, bigotry. Mark disagreed with what I was saying. At least that's the way it was presented to me on my screen here. And said, was the killing of Matthew Shepard done in love? Mark, I wish that you would have been able to present this yourself in your own words. I would have loved to hear that. But let me respond. Matthew Shepard was a young man killed. His killers later said it had nothing to do with him being gay, but everything came out initially that he was killed because he was gay. He immediately became, in that sense, a martyr for the gay cause. Here's a young man brutally beaten, left to die by two young men. And his mother, Judy Shepard, campaigns for this. The hate crimes bill was named after him. It's a tragic. Murder is murder. And the two young men were sentenced to the full extent of the law. You didn't need any hate crimes bill to do it. They were sentenced to the full extent of the law and then subsequently said it had nothing to do with homosexuality. It was drug-related. Either way, it's a horrific murder. It's a terrible act. It's a brutal act of murder, period. Murder is murder. Murder is never justified. And if any person that had any love in them that was there whatsoever, they would have done their best to save that kid from being beaten and call the cops immediately or step in or do what they could. Of course, what does that have to do with the discussion? Mark, tell me about Mary Stackowitz. Yeah, Mary Stackowitz. Yeah, Mary Stackowitz. You haven't heard of Mary Stackowitz. Isn't that odd? Just a few years ago, she as a Catholic woman, I believe, who took issue with homosexual practice, was beaten to death by a gay man. And that's why it happened. As I understand the story, she was beaten to death by a gay man because he was upset with her religious views. Where's the national outcry? Where are the laws being passed on behalf of Mary Stackowitz? Whoever heard of her? Do you get the point here? There's a lot of hatred out there. There's a lot of violence out there. But it seems that the moment you say, you know, I don't agree with same-sex marriage. Matthew Shepard, what does Matthew Shepard have to do with my taking issue with same-sex marriage? You know, the Bible teaches, well, Matthew Shepard, what does Matthew Shepard have to do with it? That's part of the problem. You can't even have a discussion without someone trying to push an emotional button. And let me say this. I try to be super, super sensitive in these areas because I know people actually believe this. In other words, it is such an emotional issue. It's like someone, they're a burn victim, right? They've got a bad burn, and I, you know, I touch their arm just to say, let me pray for you, and they scream, even though I was super gentle because it's so sensitive an issue. The double standard is not glaring. It's sickening. It's grieving. It's pathetic. And here, do this little exercise. I mean, we're living this out right now, okay? For those that thought I'm exaggerating, or we're living this out right now. Go to Amazon.com, read the 5-star reviews, which with the rarest of exception, if not any exception, but with the rarest of exception, are written by people who actually read A Queer Thing Happened to America. And then read the reviews, the so-called reviews, by the bashers. The Bible and made-up facts have often been used to persecute cultures. This book is no different. Shrouded in immodest and fake words of love, the author regales his audience by demeaning homosexuals in the name of his God. This text is disgustingly cloying in a very hateful manner. The person never even read the book. If they read the book, they couldn't have written that. How about this one? Complete garbage. What a complete and utter load of garbage. Full of nothing but tired lies and junk science that has been disproved time and time again. Don't waste your time and money any more than the publishing community did. Misinformed propaganda, it's worse. I've shared some of these with you before. Read those and say, where's the hate? Read both sides of the reviews and ask, where's the hate? Watch when I was on Tyra Banks talking about transgender children. Listen to some of the reaction to that. Here, I actually have it in A Queer Thing Happened to America. I have what people posted online after watching where I graciously, with compassion, talk about, you know, the best thing we could do is help these kids from the inside out. And the things that are posted, oh boy, how about this? This is on YouTube. Dr. Brown is completely corrupt. That man is a corrupt blank. Let's see. He deserves to be beaten. This is what someone posted on YouTube. He about me. I'm not mad at this person. I pray for them. They have a need. I pray for them. He deserves to be beaten. I would like to do a lot of violent things to him, too. I would horse kick him in the blanks while wearing high heels. I hate that man. Yes, he is a blank idiot. Don't you just hate him, God? I blank hate him. This is when I said, you know, best thing we do is help these kids from the inside out. Wouldn't that be the best thing? And that's the response. And we are supposedly the haters? And the Southern Poverty Law Center won't even have a discussion with us about these things? Brand's fine. Family Ministries hateful based on bogus scholarship on their end? And we're the haters? Again, let the rhetoric fly. We'll overcome evil with good. We'll overcome hatred with love. But let's expose it. That's what we're doing today here on The Line of Fire. Leanne in Houston, Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
All right. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you.
I got to see you the other night on Sid Ross' show. So I got to put a face with the name. But anyway, I want to make this comment, and I'm probably going to say this every time I call, until the church stand up and start teaching against this, and I don't think it's going to happen. And I believe the reason why it's not going to happen, because there's so many homosexuals that are in the church. And the preachers are just not preaching against it. You know, it's, you know, they're just not doing it. And another thing about this DOMA thing with Obama.
Yeah.
I believe that Oprah has a lot to do with that. You know, every week she has somebody who's some gay who have exposed themselves, came out with their gay. This has been an ongoing thing with Oprah for the last 3 or 4 years. She's just been opening up the media for the gays and lesbians for the longest. So I think Oprah has a lot to do with that. And I don't believe that these people who are calling you hate, what are they calling you, haters or bashers or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't find you to be you're a hater or basher. I've gotten in a conversation with a white lesbian, I'm black, and she said, well, how do you feel if they bash you because you was black? I say, the difference is, you can wake up in the morning and say, I don't want to be a lesbian anymore. And I dare you even compare my blackness with being a gay or a lesbian. I said, but I can't wake up in the morning and say I want to be white. That's the difference. And I told her I did not appreciate her comparing that with the civil rights and them being gay. I just didn't see any comparison.
Yeah, and you know, Leanne, just to jump in, I appreciate your points, and I'm glad you called. Just a few things. One is, no one knows if a lesbian is walking down the street, if that person is a lesbian or not, unless they choose to identify a certain way. Yet you cannot hide the fact that you're a black woman any more than I can hide the fact that I'm a white man.
Right.
So that also, we're talking about a behavior that someone may have same-sex attraction, whether they act on it or not, or whether they want the laws changed based on their attraction is another thing, whereas skin color is skin color. So, you know, those are fundamental things we need to remember. Also, there's no question that there has been discrimination at different times against those who would identify as homosexual, and some have, you know, get beaten up in school. But you can't compare that to the slave trade.
You can't, and
you can't compare that to the lynching of blacks in our country in the past. Yeah. How can you compare the two?
You can't, and that's what really made me upset. And another thing, I don't think that gays want human rights. I think they want special treatment. You know, I was reading an article the other day. They were at a Target getting people to sign up to pass gay marriages.
Yeah.
And the people asked them to leave or something of that nature. They had to wind up putting a lawsuit against that gay activist for doing that, because he was trying to get the people not shop there because they wouldn't let them sit there and do their petition. You know, this stuff is getting out of hand, and I believe a lot of people in the church just not paying attention. I don't want my nieces and nephews growing up reading a book about his mama and two mothers and two dads. I don't want that in the school. You know, I don't know. It's just that Christian people are just not paying attention, or either they just don't care. So you're the only person I hear talking about it.
Well, Leanne, you know, thank God there are other voices, but sadly, you're right that they're few and far between. This has become too costly, too unpopular. I have to do what I know God wants me to do and go against the grain with this and stand up for what's right. And I know also it's that God has a better way for the homosexual community too. But we will be resisted. We will be misunderstood. But if we don't speak up, look, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children. And I'm telling my pastor, leader friends across America, speak now or forever hold your peace, because the types of things we're talking about today, the day could soon come where it's too costly even to mention. God bless you, Leanne. May the Lord be with you. Oh, yeah, and Oprah, she's had her influence too. The media, you bet.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about the intolerance of those who call themselves tolerant, the bigotry of those who call themselves open-minded. We are continuing to appeal to, call out the Southern Poverty Law Center to say, hey, months ago, you sent us a condescending letter lecturing us on why certain Christian groups and organizations were hate groups as we signed on, standing against that designation, signed on with congressional leaders and other national leaders. And you said, oh, we're the ones that want dialogue. Well, why is it for several months now that you won't even respond to an invitation to come and discuss the issues? I'll say it again. Find any campus in America that will sponsor a debate and discussion as to whether these groups deserve to be called hate groups. Any qualified representative from the Southern Poverty Law Center, researcher, attorney, anyone, I will gladly, joyfully fly there at my expense to have that public debate as long as we can video and audio tape it so everyone else will get to watch it. Shall we have a discussion? Or shall you continue to engage in name-calling, hate group branding of groups that are graciously trying to do the right thing based on truth and love? 866-34-TRUTH. Tom in Astoria, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, I just want to say that we are on the same page. I am one who loves the homosexual. I was led to the Lord by an ex-homosexual.
No, Tom, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as an ex-homosexual, Tom. Don't you know that? That's a hateful, bigoted thing. Just, there you go, being hateful and bigoted by suggesting there's something wrong with it and by saying that someone could change. How dare you, Tom, on national radio.
Isn't it horrible just how we can be? Yes, sir. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that we really need to be praying and be very aware of how this so-called tolerance of homosexuality is creeping into even professing Christendom in places where we wouldn't expect it. I, for instance, as a born-again Episcopalian at one time, which I was Episcopalian for a time, I began to come up against homosexuality, even though the rector was against the lifestyle. But he wouldn't be very vocal about it. Eventually he was, and bless his heart, he eventually was not promoted because of his stand against homosexuality, but that's another story. But I was almost physically attacked by someone in that church because I had a friend, and I found out he was homosexual, and I began to say, hey, the Bible says that if you claim to be a Christian and you practice that lifestyle, it's the same thing as adultery, fornication, and if you're not going to repent, you know, I can't even eat with you. But he admitted that I loved him. He knew it, but that caused all kinds of trouble. To make a long story short, I eventually checked into some monasteries that were Episcopalian, and every last one of them condoned homosexuality. I couldn't believe it. And then there was one out in Illinois that was, like, ecumenical. Mm-hmm. And I went out there and tried that, and I went out there as a spirit-filled Episcopalian. And I went there because they said they did not condone homosexuality. But lo and behold, there were one of the people who was about to take his vows. And I was just going there to see if I wanted to become a monk. And that man began to condone homosexuality at the dinner table. Can you beat that?
Tom, that's remarkable.
I began to oppose it. And the abbot got so angry, he kicked me out of the monastery. But I had to make that stand. But all that to say, I've really come up against it again and again. Now, here in New York City, I'm involved in a wonderful Pentecostal church. But some time ago, I was involved at a Christian mission here in New York City. Now, here's my final point. I began to hear that in the chapel, there were some people who were acting very close to each other, and they were homosexual. And when I began to protest that, the guy in charge said, wait a minute, all sins are the same, aren't they? And I said, no, some sins are worse than others. But he said, no, and he got all upset. It turned out that fellow almost condoned it And he was involved in some things himself, and I found out there were people in that mission who were actually practicing fornication. And when I began to oppose that, the leadership checked me out. Because these guys who were fornicating actually were very, very involved in making that mission very prosperous. They were very good at what they
did.
All
hey, Tom.
Listen.
I got to run. I've just got a break. So 10 more seconds, and I got to go.
You got it.
Okay. Well, listen, Tom, I appreciate you weighing in and sharing that. And look, the church in so many ways has just lost its moral authority. We've had so much compromise in so many different ways, heterosexual, homosexual, financial, lack of action in right ways, inaction in wrong ways, or action in wrong ways. We've lost our moral authority. We have become, in that regard, what Martin Luther King said, if we lost our prophetic zeal, we'd become an irrelevant social club. We really have to recognize there's time for awakening, and the time is now, not tomorrow, now. We really have to recognize that the hour is urgent, and now is the time for us to wake up from our slumber. Let's first look at our own lives. Let's first look in the mirror and say, Lord, is my life lining up with your word? Is my life lining up with your ways? Is my life lining up with your spirit? Am I living in accordance with your values? Is there hypocrisy, sin in me? Am I judging someone else for their sin and allowing all types of filth in my own life? Am I criticizing someone for their lack of love for you while I haven't spent quality time with you in a month? Let's examine our own hearts and lives so that we can regain our prophetic and moral authority and then function as a moral conscience to the society. If the light within us is darkness, how great is the darkness? If the salt loses its saltiness, what use is it? If you want to get our special resource offer today, A Queer Thing Happened to America, a book, listen, if you're not convinced it's crucial reading after listening to these calls, listen again. A Queer Thing Happened to America, plus my two-hour debate with gay activist who claims to be born-again Christian, part of Obama's Faith Advisory Council, Harry Knox, 800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Let me thank all of you that have become torchbearers, monthly supporters, given one-time donations, monthly donations. Thank you so much for helping us reach more and more people with this message. Our website with hundreds of hours of free resources just waiting for you to dive in. AskDrBrown.org. That's AskDrBrown.org. And as always, I encourage you, go to Amazon. You can also order A Queer Thing Happened to America straight from Amazon. Get it more and more in the public eye. Write a review. Interact with the reviews that are there. Truth will triumph. My bottom line is this. We will be called hateful. We will be called intolerant. We will be called bigoted. We will be mocked. And we will even be persecuted in stronger ways for standing up for what is right. Let us all the more then stand up. Let us stand stronger, taller. Let us speak more clearly, with more love, with more unction. Let us refuse to compromise. Let us be encouraged and be courageous to do what is right at any cost or consequence and thereby walk worthy of the Master. How is it that some of the finest family ministries in America today have been branded hate groups? Who's behind it and why? We'll expose it today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What do you do when someone says, we want to have dialogue, we want to have discussion, we want to interact, and for months you try to interact with them and you invite them to come on the radio and say, hey, we want to hear your side, we're going to present our side, we take issue with your side, and they never respond, and they tell you, contact this one, we contact that one, and get no response. What do you say? You say that they really don't want to have a dialogue. Since early this year, In response to the Southern Poverty Law Center writing a rather condescending letter to me and 150 other national Christian leaders and ministry leaders that said, when you characterize groups like Concerned Women for America or American Family Association or Liberty Council, these other groups as hate groups, and said that they were knowingly publishing lies and false information about the homosexual community, former Attorney General Meese was right to say that that was despicable what you did, and that it was ridiculous, and House Speaker John Boehner and others were absolutely right in saying what that characterization was completely bogus and false. You write us a condescending letter that you know, explaining these things as if we didn't know the information, and we say, hey, why don't you come join us on the air? Let's discuss these things. We take issue with the scholarship. We take issue with the research. Don't get a response. I signed, end of last year, a public ad, Stop Hating, Start Debating. Stop Hating, Start Debating. And what happens? We get this lecture, or we're the ones willing to talk from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Then talk to us. Once again, yet again, I extend the invitation to Mr. J. Richard Cohn, to Mr. Mark Potok, to others in the Southern Poverty Law Center. Join me on the air on any college campus in America. We can have a civil dialogue discussion about your branding of groups as hate groups, because I say the hate is coming from your side. The intolerance and bigotry is coming from your side. Aha! 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, serving as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, overcoming evil with good, hatred with love, lies with truth. That's the way of the gospel. That's what we're seeking to do here on the Line of Fire. Our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. In chapter one of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the end of the chapter, A Stealth Agenda, here's what I say. From here on, embracing diversity refers to embracing all kinds of sexual orientation, homosexual expression, and gender identification, but rejects every kind of religious or moral conviction that does not embrace these orientations, expressions, and identifications. From here on, tolerance refers to the complete acceptance of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender lifestyles and ideology in the family, in the workplace, in education, in media, in religion, while at the same time refusing to tolerate any view that is contrary. From here on, inclusion refers to working with supporting, sponsoring, and encouraging gay events, gay goals, while at the same time systematically refusing to work with and excluding anyone who is not in harmony with these events and goals. From here on, hate refers to any attitude, thought, or word that differs with the gay agenda. While gays are virtually exempt from the charge of hate speech, no matter how vile and incendiary the rhetoric, since they are always the perceived victims and never the victimizers. I challenge anyone, any listener, any gay ally, any Christian that takes issue with this, any gay activist, I challenge anyone to prove those statements wrong based on what is happening in our society today. Have you been called intolerant? Have you been called bigoted? Have you been rejected for graciously saying that you take issue with the goals of gay activism? If so, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Going to get very interesting today on the Line of Fire. Change the world. Change the world. Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it is good to be intolerant of certain things. I remember some years ago, some pro-life leaders made a T-shirt that said, intolerance is a beautiful thing. Intolerance of slavery, intolerance of world injustice, intolerance of little children being sold into sex trafficking, intolerance of brutal dictatorships, oppressing people. Intolerance in certain ways is a good thing. The scripture is calling us to hate what is evil and love what is good, and to plead for those who are being deprived of justice. But then there's another type of intolerance where if someone's not the same color as me or doesn't have the same religious background as me, I don't want them living as my neighbor. If someone speaks with a different accent, I don't want them in the workplace with me, and whatever the case is, that type of intolerance is negative. And the moment we stand up for what is right, friends, it's unavoidable today. Face it. Don't run from it. Don't think you can run from it. Otherwise, you're just going to run into a little closet. The fact of the matter is, when we stand up for what is right today, in particular dealing with these gay and lesbian issues where God's called us to be on the forefront of reaching out to the people with compassion and resisting gay activism with courage, you will be branded intolerant, bigoted, hateful. For years in Jewish ministry, I was likened, and others in Jewish ministry with me have been likened to Hitler. And this was the mantra. I remember being in Israel at a large conference, and there were counter-missionaries and ultra-Orthodox Jews outside chanting, and they had signs saying, "You're worse than Hitler. Hitler wanted our bodies, you want our souls." I'm used to those kind of accusations. I understand where they're coming from. They're unfortunate, but I understand where they're coming from and how we are viewed and how, quote, Christianity is viewed. In fact, some issues of relevance may even come up on tomorrow's broadcast right here on the Line of Fire as we talk about Passover. But I've never been called Hitler so much in my life. The last line about me is comparing him with a shark. You don't trust a grinning shark. In other words, I was nice in my presentation, but you don't trust a grinning shark. I've been called Hitler jihadist. In fact, can I find this? And a queer thing happened to America. The second chapter is called Jewish Hitlers, Christian Jihadists, and the Magical Effects of Pushing the Hate Button. Oh, can I find this? Someone actually wrote a poem. Here it is, calling me a jihadist. This is on a gay website in the comments. Brown comes to our turf with nice civil discourse, but his goal is to smite us without remorse. Concern for all gets a nod while he goes forth in jihad as a virulent bigot in a Trojan horse. So, jihad. And people are serious about this. They are serious about this. In the last hours, I talked about these issues. Someone called in. They had to go before we could get them on the air. And they wanted to know. It was the killing of Matthew Shepard loving. They differ with me. It's like, well, hang on. A kid is killed. Cold-blooded murder. The people go to jail as cold-blooded murderers. Later, they claim it wasn't gay-related. The fact is it's a cold-blooded murder. There's a mother deprived of her son. It's a horrible crime. There are many horrible crimes committed all over America every day. We should renounce all of them, including this one. And if it was gay-related, we should stand out against it as gay-related. But I asked, what about Mary Stackowitz, Catholic woman who was murdered by a gay man because she didn't agree with homosexuality, according to the reports that I read? Where's the national outcry over that? And what is the fact that some guys murder a young man in cold blood? What does that have to do with me saying I don't agree with same-sex marriage? You know, the Bible teaches against homosexual practice. Where's the connection? There is none. You can try to make some logical leap. Well, unless you fully embrace this, there's a climate of hate. No, not necessarily at all. I don't embrace traditional Judaism, and I talk with traditional rabbis sometimes every week. If I lived in a Muslim community, I'd be having debate and dialogue constantly, and they'd be telling me I'm wrong, and I'd be telling them they're wrong. And we'd be discussing these things, and there'd be no hate, at least on my end. And for many of them, there wouldn't be hate. They're rabbis and others I deal with that love me. And if someone attacked me, they'd stand up for me. And yet we are militantly opposed in terms of our theologies. You can do that. It's a free country. Why is it the moment we take issue, we are full of hate? 866-34-TRUTH. A couple of callers have been patiently holding, actually, since the last hour. I want to get to your questions, which are a little bit broader. Sharon in Cambridge, Massachusetts, thanks so much for holding so long. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes. Did you say Sharon?
Yes, that is you.
Yeah, hi. That's me. Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I discovered your show, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, and I think it's really worthwhile listening.
Well, thank you. Listening on WEZE in Boston?
That's
area?
Right.
Okay,
that's right.
Great.
590 a.m.
All right, wonderful.
Listen, I have often been, you know, thinking about this question, and it is isn't it possible to think of some people as physiologically homosexual from in utero? In other words, from the time that they were conceived, that the washing in and out or whatever of the endocrines and all of what goes on, even before they're born, simply results in their being at the extreme end of what heterosexuals as the norm in the middle. Now, I'm not talking about lifestyle or people who choose to be bi or tri or whatever because it's a swinging thing to be. But in the case of the true, you might say physiologically, endocrinologically homosexual, then would the only answer for them be to be completely celibate all their lives? I mean, I do know that that's what the Catholic Church's answer is to true homosexuality. And I do differentiate between chosen homosexuality and physiological or endocrinological homosexuality.
Let me interact with that, and it's a very important question. First, as far as the chosen aspect, the vast majority of people that you'll meet who identify as gay or lesbian will say this is the way they've been as long as they can remember it. They never chose it. The choice that they would make is to act on it, to have a sexual or romantic relationship based on it, or to come out and identify as a certain way. Now, it doesn't mean they were born that way. It just means as far back as they can remember, these were the sexual or romantic thoughts that they had. The question, though, that you're asking pushes it back further. You mentioned in utero, things that happen in the womb. Could someone actually be born homosexual? There's lots of discussion about this, Sharon. Many, many papers written, books written on this. I document a lot of it in the Born That Way chapter. It's Gay the New Black in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. The fact is there's absolutely no definitive study, though, that says we can know this. In other words, to date, despite all the efforts, that's why they keep looking. That's why there are more and more studies that are being done. Despite all the efforts, there has still not been any definitive study that proves whether it's through hormones, whether it's some other genetic issue, whether it's brain structure, whatever it is. There has been no definitive study to date that proves that anyone is actually born that way. What they might have is a tendency to live a certain way. Maybe a boy genetically is more into softer, gentler things, and another boy genetically is more wired for, say, you know, rugged behavior. But that doesn't then make someone gay or straight. And no. And even the American Psychiatric Association and American Psychological Association, which are very, very much gay slanted, gay leaning, and gay activist in certain ways, they still say we don't know what causes it. If anyone would argue that we know, and that it's biological or genetic, they'd be the ones to say it. That being said, let's put this together. Whatever the reason is, someone, when we meet that person, says, look, my only desires and attractions are same-sex, and this is who I've always been. What do we say to that
person?
Well,
listen, I don't think they should be talking about it all the time anyhow. So.
Oh, yeah, I understand. No, I understand.
As far as that goes, everybody's sexuality or intimacy issues and interests
right.
should be kept behind the woodwork.
Sharon, what I'm saying is you meet a person like this and answer to your question about what do we tell that person.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about the rest of their life. I would just tell them, give your life to Jesus today and be holy. That's the thing. I was with a friend last night, didn't get married till he was 42. He was a healthy heterosexual. He had to deny his flesh. He didn't get married till he was 42, and he didn't know that he'd ever get married. You have to take it one day at a time. I know plenty of people who have come out of homosexuality because here's the power of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 lists all types of behaviors and all types of practices. Some of them are very deep. Some of them are very ingrained. And yet Paul says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit. So God can change anyone. And in the meantime, we give ourselves to God, celibate holy to him. I want to reiterate, as others have said, Sharon, that the opposite of homosexuality is not heterosexuality as much as it is holiness. So let that individual give themselves to the Lord. Walk day by day with him. Don't think 30 years down the line. Just walk with him today. You can be a satisfied, blessed, celibate, single person. And then, if God works with you in such a way that your desires actually change, you could be enriched with a relationship with the opposite sex as well. Hey, Sharon, thanks for calling. By the way, what if a genetic cause for homosexuality could be found? What if that could be found, just like a genetic cause for other conditions?
This fire we want. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I looked at the clock and miscalculated the time in my last spot and talked right up to the break. My apologies. The point I was making was, if someone could demonstrate that there is a genetic cause for homosexuality, and we're talking more broadly today about exposing the hatred and intolerance and the bigotry of those who claim that we are the haters, the ones who use hateful speech towards us, that are narrow-minded, won't discuss issues with us, organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center that brand others as hateful, other Christian groups as hate groups, which would put them in like the neo-Nazi Ku Klux Klan, Islamic terrorist-type group, brand us as hate groups, and won't even have a public discussion, no matter how many times we contact them and ask them. We're seeking to expose that, but talking about the larger subject, and this day, Wednesday, as we focus on moral and cultural issues here, broader subject of homosexual practice, what if a cause, genetic cause, could be found? Could we then look for a genetic cure? And this is why one Harvard professor said, don't look for a genetic cause, because then anyone's going to look for a genetic cure. One of the issues we take up in A Queer Thing Happened to America, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. One of our callers was not able to hold any longer, but again, just another one who said that daughter came out, is lesbian a couple of years ago, the struggle's now in the home. I just want to counsel anyone dealing with that to show as much unconditional love as you can towards your family member, in particular a son or a daughter that comes out, especially if they know your values, especially if you they know your stance. You may tell them, listen, you know that we believe according to the scripture that homosexual practice is wrong, but we embrace you and love you as a son, as a daughter, and then just keep loving on them. They're already dealing with the condemnation and the weight of that feeling of rejection. Let love overcome that. Let the goodness of God working in your life minister to them so that they see there is hope, there is salvation, there is a better way. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, before I go back to the phones, if a lot of you right now would go to Amazon.com and order a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, we could bounce back up to number one on gay and lesbian nonfiction, which, again, just will get more and more secular readers. So just a bunch of you. Doesn't have to be thousands of you, just a bunch of you. Jump on Amazon in the next few minutes, Amazon.com, or this hour, all right? And order A Queer Thing Happened to America. They've got it at a really good price these days. Order a copy if you haven't yet, or order an extra copy to give away. It could bounce back up because that's how it's listed under gay and lesbian nonfiction titles on Amazon. So it's getting to the readers I want to read it, those who don't agree with our position. Order it in the next a few minutes, if you can, order a few copies if you have folks you want to give them to, especially because they discounted it now. And it'll inform you, it'll open your eyes. Almost all the major questions you've asked, you'll find answered there, and a ton you didn't even know you needed to ask. It'll be amazingly eye-opening. Get it for folks, get it for yourself. Get a bunch to give out to friends at your church, your fellowship. And if you do it this hour, just happen to take a glance during the break, it'll jump back up to number one on gay and lesbian nonfiction and get out to a lot more people, all right? And when you go there, weigh in on the comments, because a lot of the reviews are written by people who haven't read the book, and they bash the book in hateful, militant, bigoted terms because they haven't read it, and they expose. See, this is bringing to the surface what's really in people's hearts. They're exposing the hatred and the bigotry that's on their end. We want to overcome that with love. John in Woodstock, Georgia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very good, thank you.
My comment had to do with the last caller you were speaking with, and she talked about basically a predisposition to homosexuality, like a genetic. And my thought was, even if you would be able to prove that, some claim that there's people have a predisposition to alcoholism. So if such is the case, one would not grab a bottle and give it to that person with a predisposition to alcoholism and say, hey, drink up and be all who you can be because that's who you were born to be.
John, what if I had a predisposition to homophobia? Would that be okay then? What if I had a predisposition to violence. You know, the very point.
I don't think anybody's in fear of homosexuality.
Oh no, no. My point, John, is I'm playing off what you're saying. In other words,
right. We can take that as an example. If I was to make an argument, let's say I'm fearful of guns, but I made an argument of for gun control, the fact that I fear guns would not nullify my argument for gun control.
Right. And if we just think this through about the born that way issue, predisposition is not the same as predestination. Correlation is not the same as causation, which is the point you're making. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and the chapter is Gay the New Black, where we analyze the born that way argument, I give all the reasons, the evidence, why it's very wrong to say that someone's born that way. But then I say, well, others believe people are born that way. So I said, okay, let's just say that's true. And then I talk about researchers that found what they call a violent gene or a ruthless gene or a selfish
right.
gene or an adultery gene. Or those who have what we call an obesity gene, we don't have a fat pride parade. We help them deal with the obesity. So the bottom line point and the conclusion from what you're saying is this, that we cannot draw a moral conclusion because someone is predisposed to a certain behavior or orientation. That does not make it right or wrong. The fact that I say I was born that way or claim that I was born that way is not a moral argument. The moral argument has to be made separately. So, John, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. Pastor Harris in Philadelphia, I want to let you get started now, and we may have to continue on the other side of the break. But go for it, sir.
Yes. I just wanted to say that homosexuality is not something that you're born with, like you said. In the Bible, it could be traced to the descendants of Noah, Ham, when he saw his brother, he saw his dad naked. And when the word that is looked at he saw in Hebrew, it also means to enjoy. And I was seeing the Jewish study Bible that I have. It also traces descendants to Sodom and Gomorrah. I just wanted to make a comment like that.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you weighing in. Thanks, sir. In fact, there are some ancient Jewish traditions that say that Noah was either raped or he was either sodomized or castrated. The Hebrews, Yeshemrim ser sovri, Yeshemrim riv os. Some say that he was castrated. Some say that he was sodomized by his son. There's a debate about what actually happened, caused the outrage. For sure, though, I do not trace homosexuality today to the descendants of, as if it's some genetic lineal thing passed on. Just wanted to make that point, but I appreciate the call. 866-34-TRUTH, back with more of your calls. And the subject of who is being intolerant, who is being bigoted, how can we overcome hatred with love, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Jesus comes into the world and the thoughts of many hearts are revealed. Jesus comes into the world, Luke, the second chapter, verses 34 and 35, verses I've often meditated on for others of us who follow in his footsteps. He's prophesied over by Simeon, just as a baby being brought to the temple. What's prophesied over him? This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel. Falling and rising, you would have thought it would have been rising and rising because he's the Messiah. No, falling and rising of many Israel, and for a sign to be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. We're focusing today on intolerance, bigotry, hatred on the part of those who claim to be the tolerant ones, on the part of those who claim to be open-minded. And the moment we take moral issue with some of their stands in particular, yes, with issues having to do with homosexuality. We are branded, intolerant, hate-filled, bigoted. We are the haters. And I have a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America called Jewish Jihadists, Jewish Hitlers, Christian Jihadists, and the Magical Effects of Pushing the Hate Button. And it gets so overblown. It gets so exaggerated. I'll just graciously say, you know, I take issue with this based on the Bible. Next thing, I'm being blasted as Hitler. I'm being likened to a psychopath called a grinning shark the other day. It goes on and on and on. In the chapter, the Jewish Hitler chapter, again, this is what I, as a Jew, have been called by others. I document one thing after another said about our side of things. And then I say, here's what we said. This is my comment. Gracious, loving, respectful comment. And then here's the response. Ugly, hate-filled. And yet, I'm the hater. You're the hater. 866-34-TRUTH. Have you been subject to intolerance, been subjected to bigotry, been subjected even to discrimination or silencing, and been called a hater? I had a caller in the first hour who graciously was in post office, I believe, was talking to someone that got into a discussion about homosexual practice. He explained why he differed with it based on scripture. And the person said, oh, so you are a professional bigot. Where did they get that rhetoric from? A professional bigot. Come on. But it's out there everywhere. 866-34-TRUTH. AskDrBrown.org is the website. Click on the Line of Fire for resources for today's show and to join in the discussion there. I am determined to expose the intolerance on the other side. My speaking tour in association with my book is called The Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity. I have now, we've done it privately, we've now done it publicly today, put the Southern Poverty Law Center on record that we reject your intolerance and we reject your hate rhetoric. When the end of last year you called fine Christian organizations like the American Family Association and Concerned Women for America and Liberty Council and Family Research Council and these other groups, you branded them or associated them with being hate groups. And then when I and others signed a letter at the end of last year saying that we want to discuss things, stop hating, start debating, stop with the hate rhetoric, the charge that we are willingly, knowingly publishing, disseminating falsehoods, and then put together a bogus document that alleges to prove that I debunked that last year. In fact, we have an article in the Voice of Revolution magazine called The Southern Poverty Law Center Debunks Itself. But, I get this condescending letter because I signed on to the Stop Hating, Start Debating from Southern Poverty Law Center saying, we're the ones that want to talk. What do you mean we don't want to talk? We're the ones that want to talk. We've tried for months to get them to talk and to come on the air and to discuss the issues. And I'll say it once again, anyone associated with the Southern Poverty Law Center, you find a campus and I'll fly there at my own expense and have a public discussion about your charges, your document that we're publishing falsehoods. We're going to expose the hatred. We're going to expose the intolerance right here on the Line of Fire. Oh, yeah, you're listening to the right station right now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Hey, it's April 13th. What's coming April 15th? Tax day. Well, not just tax day. Actually, it's delayed in most states, I think, because of a D.C. holiday or something like that. But April 15th, day of silence. Day of silence. This is where, if it follows the pattern in past years, several hundred thousand students in middle school and high school will be silent through the day and not participate in class unless it is insisted they participate. Why? They are in solidarity with the silencing of the gay and lesbian community. You say silent? Silencing? It seems that you've got one activist after another with organizations that are pretty vocal and pretty vocal out political leaders in different cities in America and D.C. and in the media and are silenced? Yeah, mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands hundreds of thousands, will join in together. Other Christian organizations encouraging everyone, that's the day you keep your kid home from school because it's a day of indoctrination and pressure on them, and there is wisdom to that. Show those kids love every other day of the year, but that day, say, hey, well, we don't want to participate in political activism here in the schools, and we are standing up in protest and sending that message. That's not what the schools are for. 866-34-TRUTH. Quick note, as we're talking about exposing intolerance, that's a lot of what's happened now with the publishing of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And just like with Jesus coming into the world, when we stand up for his principles, his ways, the same thing will happen to any of us, that it exposes what's in people's hearts. It exposes things. It becomes a sign that's spoken against, not our obnoxiousness, not our foolishness, not our self-righteousness, but when we stand up for what is right and true, it exposes the other side of things. Some of you might have gotten my book and thought, ah, he's exaggerating with all this hate speech stuff. Well, just go read the reviews. That's why I bring it to your attention to say, live it out together with me. Be a witness together with me. As we get blasted in the crudest, ugliest terms, and people haven't gone near the book blasting it, isn't that intolerance and bigotry? Isn't that a hatred when you blast someone? You have no idea their position. You have no idea what they say. You blast them in false terms. Isn't that intolerance? And when we say, hey, let's dialogue about these things, it goes the other way. By the way, you can do something really neat today. If you order on Amazon today, if a bunch of you do at Amazon.com, A Queer Thing Happened to America will jump back up to number one on gay and lesbian nonfiction. If all of you can do it in the next 20 minutes, it just happens this hour. It's just one of those things that boo, it pushes it forward and gets it to people that wouldn't normally see it, which is our goal, is to get people to read it that don't agree. Let us air out the issues and let's find out where the intolerance and bigotry is. Oh yeah, I've run into it. The rarest of times I've run into it among professing Christians towards the homosexual community. And I'm the first to address it and rebuke it and correct it and apologize for it. But I've worked with people around the world that have nothing but love and tears for the gay and lesbian community, but will not rewrite the Bible or redefine marriage because of someone's sexual orientation. Eileen in Richmond, Virginia, you wanted to weigh in on the born that way predisposition question that we talked about earlier. What's your take?
Well, if people even take the smallest amount of time to look at twin research shows that people couldn't possibly be born gay because you would have to have identical twins having identical sexual orientations. And if you take all the studies together, the chance of that happening is about 1 in 10. 9 times out of 10, a heterosexual, 9 times out of 10, a homosexual identical twin will have a heterosexual twin sibling. So the argument is false, but it was started 40 years ago by the gay community because they surveyed the heterosexual public and found out, gee, they're not going to accept our behavior, but if we can convince them it's genetic, then they're going to say, oh, you poor dears, you can't help yourself. And so, therefore, they'll accept it like your child might be born with a mental handicap. Oh, you poor thing. So they've gotten a lot of mileage out of a very old lie.
Yeah, and in fact, the major twin studies that have been done have all pointed in the same direction, that you have the slightest correlation, and that's about it. The research I've seen, and as been analyzed, it comes out about 11%. So, like you said, right about 1 in 10. And whether it's a sympathy thing to say, you poor thing, or simply to say, hey, I no more chose homosexuality than you chose heterosexuality, the twin studies, which people still claim prove it, actually point in the other direction. Hey, Eileen, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. Alex in Riverview, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being there. You have an interesting show. You mentioned about, as an example, you talk about an obesity gene, and I've always wondered, you know, folks say, well, I'm obese because of a medical condition, and, you know, that's probably true for less than the percentage of gays. But, I mean, obesity is more detrimental to society than homosexuality is, and at times even more offensive, I think. But shouldn't we be treating the sin of obesity and obese people in our churches the same way we treat practicing homosexuals in our churches?
Ah, okay. Excellent point, and I'm glad you raise it. Let me say this. The Bible does not speak of, say, gluttony being an abomination because of which God, the earth vomited people out, whereas it does mention homosexual practice, bestiality, incest in that category. The Bible doesn't say that people who are gluttons or obese will not enter the kingdom of heaven, as it does say about fornicators, adulterers, drunkards, or homosexual practitioners in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And obesity is not launching a campaign of activism to redefine family, etc. That being said, we definitely should speak more about gluttony. Yeah, there are a very small percentage of people that have medical conditions, and boy, my heart goes out to them. But many, look, as we get older, we have to work at it harder. You know, our metabolism changes. Some people just blow up more quickly than others. So what does that mean? We have to work at it harder. The Bible definitely addresses the issue of self-control, Alex. So while I wouldn't agree that it's on the same level as practicing sexual immorality of any kind, it is something that we need to address in terms of self-control, in terms of the Bible admonishing us to deny ourselves and walk in self-control. And it's a fatal condition. It kills a whole lot of Americans every year and hurts the quality of life. So I wouldn't say it as strongly as you say it, but definitely we do need to address it. Hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, we do have a special resource offer with Queer Thing Happened to America and the DVD debate with Harry Knox, gay activist professing to be born-again Christian, practicing homosexual. Very eye-opening debate. Harry Knox was then appointed to President Obama's Faith Advisory Council. We have a special resource offer today where you can get the book and the debate together. But if you don't take advantage of that, just another reminder. Today, right now, this hour is a great time to order Queer Thing Happened to America on Amazon and then interact with the reviews. Let it be known that the hateful reviews are not helpful and the truthful reviews are helpful. Weigh in there, but order a copy of the book. Order a few. They've got it at a great price now on Amazon. And if you do it this hour, like I said, I think we can jump back up and become number one gay and lesbian nonfiction listing on Amazon. That's where they have the title. It will get attention for sure. Nathaniel in South Boston, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I just had a comment about the the born again. Not born again. Born that way. You know, I've heard people from like the pedophile camp. Mm-hmm. You know, you see them on the news and stuff, and they say they're born that way too. A lot of them.
Yeah, Nathaniel, I have a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America called "Speaking of the Unspeakable," some disturbing parallels to pro-gay arguments, where I actually list 8 major arguments by the pedophile pederast camp, being born that way, I can't change, being one of them, and I say I'm not comparing the acts, I'm comparing the arguments, and Nathaniel, just for saying that, I get lambasted people wailing on me, and it's pornographic, and how dare you? And I say, hey, I'm just comparing arguments to say, don't use that argument. The fact you say, yeah, I was born that way and I can't change, what does that prove? Hey, got to run, but thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. All right, friends, take a listen to the special resource offer we have. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have been talking about exposing hatred, bigotry, and intolerance among those that claim to be liberal, open-minded, tolerant, especially with regard to homosexual issues. A young lady in grad school in New York City came up to me Saturday night and said, I don't understand it. People claim to be so liberal-minded. When we tell them that gays can change, they won't listen. They're so intolerant. I've constantly run into intolerance, bigotry, hatred from those that claim to be tolerant. That's what we're seeking to expose. Our book speaking tour is called The Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity. For that very reason, remarkably, people are afraid to even touch this on campuses. people have a really hard time finding a campus willing to have someone sponsor a civil, gracious discussion about these issues. Where's the intolerance? Not on this side. Where's the open-mindedness? On the other side, hey, let's discuss things. Mary in Malvern, you know, I went to West Hempstead High School, the next town over, and the Malvern... The Malvern basketball team, when I played in freshman basketball, they beat us 87-14 one year. Anyway, I know you have something serious on your mind, though, Mary. What is that?
My daughter is 18 years old. She'll be 19 in July. And when she was 16, a little after 16, because at 16 she had a boyfriend, but I'd say... a few months after that, where it didn't work, or they got back together, it was a hard time, her having this boyfriend, and she had a boyfriend before, which I didn't approve of, but you know how kids are, they have a boyfriend, but they really don't, and then they have friends, and anyway, she tells me, sitting on the staircase, that she likes girls, and I said to her, oh, absolutely, I like girls too. I said, you know, I have my prayer groups, and I said, matter of fact, I love my girlfriend. I said, and we have intimate relationships because we really we talk about God, and he just brings us so much closer. And she's like, no, Mom, that's not what I mean. I mean, I really like girls. And she wouldn't exactly explain it, but I got the picture. And I started to question her and say, Michelle, there's a line we don't cross. We're Christians. It's a family. And matter of fact, my daughter, 14, became born again. And she got very hostile to me. You don't understand. She says, you're married. It says, you mean because I'm married, I can't go over a boundary? I can't be attracted to other men? Of course I am. I said, as a matter of fact, that gives me some use when I feel that and someone feels that towards me. But there's a line I don't cross because I have a belief. And a belief that I believe in God and you know, it's going against him if I were to do that. And as a child, I must tell you, I've always had that fear. I don't know how. I think God sometimes just runs people, certain people. My mom, I didn't care, fear of my mind, but God knew everything, and that just got me to stop in my tracks. And a lot of things I did, not all the things I did.
Hey, Mary, let me just jump in. Do you have the book God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door?
No.
All right. I want you to stay online. We'll get your name and address because I'm looking at the clock, a little short on time. I want to send you a free copy of the book edited by a friend of mine, Alan Chambers, that'll give you really practical counsel, loving ways that you can deal with this right within your own household, because I understand the conflict can be great, and within the school system, your daughter can be encouraged, they'll come out or experiment and so on.
Yes, there's so much going on in the school. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's a hardship at home, terribly, terribly. And she says, God loves me. I said, but not your behavior. And she doesn't like that I stick it all the time. And I said, you want to stay like this? You believe you're like this? I said, but you're not allowed to have any relationships in this house. And you cannot bring home any girls that, you know, you still call like.
And let me just say this, and then I got to run, Mary, but you've really got to, above all, fight this in prayer that God would get to the root of this and help her to really, it's a war for her soul. Hey, listen, I'm going to put you on hold, Mary. Thank you for calling. Again, this touches families. Kids are being encouraged in schools, open up, and it's leading to situations like this. So I want to send Mary that book. Okay, real quick, Juan in Kings Bay, Georgia. We're a little short on time, but what's your take on being hated for standing up for what's right?
It's sad because what would help so much, and I want to thank you for being one of the few Christians that I don't really know you personally, who stand up for the Word of God boldly and in love. If we had more of that, people would be more open to it, I believe. Because that's how Jesus was received, you know, many times. He was received openly because he spoke to them in love and in truth. And so we need that.
Yeah, and there is going to be opposition, and sometimes people get uncomfortable with it. But if we walk in love and stand for truth, then what happens, happens. If people hate us, reject us, come against us. People, look, our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world are having their arms chopped off and their heads chopped off for following Jesus because of religious radicals in other parts of the world. We're not really suffering. Let's stand up for what's right. Hey, Juan, thanks for the call. God bless you. Listen, I'm looking at a lit-up phone board here, and I simply don't have time to take your calls or to give them any justice. So, Clinton, Chase, Robbie, feel free to give us a buzz in another program. If you have a question you want to ask, Friday's a great day as we do. You've got questions, we've got answers. So my apologies, I can't get to all of you that are still holding and others that have tried to get through. My apologies. But keep calling. We love to hear from you. We love to interact. And if you want to weigh in on something, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire for today's show, and then weigh in. I'm sure you've got comments that even in the course of a few-minute call, you might not get everything out. So weigh in issues about obesity, issues about being born that way, issues about, well, we're not bringing sin into the conversation. We want to hear from you. Weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You'll also find relevant resources for today's show. And again, if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, you don't know me well enough, you think I'm exaggerating, go to Amazon.com, okay, as I've been encouraging folks to do. Go to Amazon.com. When you go there, look at the reviews. Look at the one-star reviews, which almost without exception have been written by people who haven't read the book, and they're bashing and mocking and attacking, sometimes in vile terms. Some of the most vile ones have gotten pulled, by the way, not by me, but by Amazon, along with some good ones for some strange reason. And then read the positive reviews of people who wrote it and say, where's the hate? Where's the intolerance? On which side is the bigotry? And then when you get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and again, today's a great day to order it on Amazon. They've got it at a great low price. It's in stock. And if you order today, it'll go back to number one in gay and lesbian nonfiction. So let's go for it, see what happens. It'll get it read by more and more people. Here is my bottom line for today. Jesus said for his sake, we would be hated, we would be maligned, we would be persecuted. And Jesus himself functioned as a sign spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. As we follow in his footsteps in grace, in meekness, in kindness, in humility, we cannot expect to be treated better by the world. He said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Let us rejoice, for count it worthy to suffer reproach for his name.